And welcome to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, living, breathing. Yes, I have a pulse. Yes, I'm back. It's been some rigorous travel lately, ladies and gentlemen. Going all the way from Michigan, my original home state, to my adopted state of Texas by way of New Orleans recently. Let me pronounce that right. Nolens. And my wife, Angie, and I had a great time stopping there during our annual sojourn in the fall from Michigan back to Texas. It's a regular thing each year. Now, I want to thank Johnny Delirious for covering for me recently. He's brought out some really good health issues in a New World Order context in many ways. Pretty tough to do, but he's done it. And he's talking about nutrition, how to achieve proper nutrition, that nutrition is really the medicine that we need in terms of our physical selves. And he recently landed his own show on RBN, which is on Sundays. We'll have Johnny on soon to talk more about that, and he covers for me as a guest host at times. Another person that covers for me as either a guest host or a co-host is today's co-host, Ron Avery. And how you doing, Ron?
Real good.
Good to have you here. Ron and I are going to talk today, ladies and gentlemen, about disarmament terrorism. We're going to give you some updates and some more in-depth details about what we strongly believe is going on in terms of these mass shootings, at least in terms of the reaction to them, what they may be gauged for. And after the bottom of the hour, I'm going to have a short tribute to Father Charles Coughlin. Today is the anniversary of his death. He died 40 years ago today in Royal Oak, Michigan, the great radio priest. We'll play a short clip from him on the Federal Reserve and banking to honor his passing. Anyway, without further ado, Ron, I know our tentative plans are to cover this coming Wednesday, October 30th. I believe the 30th falls on a Wednesday, to cover a State House committee meeting in Austin about mass shootings. And we understand this is the third and final meeting, at least for now. And we understand through a Gun Owners of America state contact, the Texas contact for that gun organization, we understand that these meetings at the state level, unlike the city level recently in San Antonio on mass shootings, that these state meetings are pretty much having victims, you know, survivors of victims, things like that. And so it's going to be pretty heavily gauged against the Second Amendment. That this is what we're hearing. So,
yes, I might be able to read you to the apparently each one of these hearings has a little different topics they like to cover.
Yes,
this last one in Austin, it says to consider the role of digital media, dark web networks, and overall cultural issues play in the promotion of mass violence and how these contribute to the radicalization of individuals and incitement of racism, white supremacy, and domestic terrorism. Research the link between violent video games and recent mass shootings in Texas and examine the impact of the overall fraying culture on mass shootings. These are run-on sentences, by the way, and including increased violence, tolerance for violence, and extremist views in our society. And that's the end of the first paragraph. And the second one is, study whether the state's interest in public safety and its ability to deter violence and dangerous conduct is enhanced by prohibiting individuals from wearing masks to intimidate others, incite violence, or engage in criminal activity while protecting First Amendment rights to free speech and free exercise of religion. Now, apparently, they will allow public testimony, and it'll be limited to 2 minutes. And if submitting written testimony, please provide 15 copies to the committee clerk with your name on each. So that's what's going to be, that's the way they're going to run it on October the 30th, this coming Wednesday, at 10 a.m. in the morning.
at the state capitol in Austin. You don't happen to have the room number handy, do you?
I do. It's E1.036.
E1.036. You know what you just read? You know, I guess periods are no longer part of writing text anymore.
That's right.
Beyond that losing effect that run-on sentences have, it's like, would you run that by me again? you know, besides that, I understood most of it. And apart from a little bit of agreement personally that there are video games out there where parents don't supervise their kids, and those games could undercut or undermine a impressionable child's sense of right and wrong or sense of fair play. I get that. I'm not going too far with it. I do think there's a little bit of substance to that. However, apart from that, this sounds like a slightly veiled, slightly oblique attack at alternative media and alternative viewpoints that are outside the narrow confines and the increasingly narrow confines of what's considered acceptable speech anymore. So this seems to be trying to make a link between free speech and inciting violence, and then putting that little qualifier or that little soothing thing at the end. However, we'll do this, you know, while looking out for our free speech rights and all that, which sounds to me like a throwaway comment.
Well, I find it rather interesting that there's no comment in here about we shall also review the effect of non-enforcement of laws and tyranny upon the potential of mass shootings. I mean, or why not even might review the State Department program on freedom from war, disarmament of the American people, what effect that might have on mass shootings. I mean, or is there some kind of connection? This thing is—it's always too simple. It's always what the people are doing, and oh, how that's bad, and how society needs to clamp down on these people.
Correct. Yeah, the basic premise is that the individual cannot be trusted with even a BB gun, ultimately, but the state—and I've talked about this before—the guns of the state can know no limits in quantity, in killing power, in the MOB bomb, the mother of all bombs, which is said to be conventional and can take out a small town, up to and including Trident submarines, nuclear missiles. All that is okay. It's just private firearms owned by citizens that are the most suspect. And therefore, the Freedom from War document, State Department document 7277, what we have seen, Ron, talking on the air and off the air, is we see indications, maybe we can't prove every little nook and cranny of this thing and look into the mind of the deep state, but we see strong indications and patterns and parallels whereby the Freedom for More document brought into being in 1961 under the Kennedy administration, State Department 7277, that's the number of the document, to repeat that, that this document would be fulfilled, that is, by gradually disarming the people and individual nation states, and at the same time, concomitantly, arming the United Nations Peace Force to strengthen it as nations and individuals are weakened, we would see this as a likely motivator or modus operandi for anyone that would carry out either real, exaggerated, or hoax mass shootings. The yes. action is in... The action is in the reaction. Why would you have a string of mass shootings that always seem to have very similar characteristics? What might be the ultimate goal? Fulfilling that UN Peace Force plan that we have no reason to believe has been revoked would fit the mold. The action is in the reaction as to why these mass shootings are happening.
Yes. I mean, if we just think about this a little bit, how would they implement such a program to completely disarm the American people? And that's what the document actually says, a complete disarmament of the American people. And then federal government would, in the states, would only keep small arms for the management of the people. keep them in line. And larger armaments would be shipped to the UN. So how would you implement that? Would you go on the floor of the Congress and try to argue the benefits of that and the wonderment and beauty of that? When we know there's no logic to support such a program, so how in the world would they implement that program? Well, wouldn't it be great to implement that program if there were a bunch of mass shootings and they create a bunch of hysteria through the mass media cartel that the people need to be disarmed for their own safety because people run around shooting other people. Well, this is the way to implement it. Otherwise, what they think sounds like a great program is just they can't make it work. But they can. I think they put it together that they can make it work with these mass shootings. And whether they're instrumental in doing them or whether they twist them, or no matter what they do, the end result is we have a mass shooting where people are killed or pretended to be killed, and the use of that fear about that is they try to promote the violation of a greater law, which is the Second Amendment, the disarmament of the American people.
Yes, and that is in itself a crime to abridge the Constitution, the founding charter of the nation, be it trying to deplatform and demonetize and you know, demonize people for their First Amendment rights, and that's implied in this upcoming Texas House Committee program, or to abridge their Second Amendment rights or Fourth or Fifth Amendment rights. It's a package deal.
That's right. You never hear these people talking about the crime of violating the Second Amendment. They don't talk about that. They're always talking about protecting and if we, you know, if we just control these firearms, firearm control and gun control and all of that, but never control of the infringement upon the Second Amendment. It's a crime to infringe upon the Second Amendment. People should be arrested for even suggesting that we do that.
Certainly censored, depending on how active they are. Now, I'm looking at the document itself, and it's interesting the premise, the preamble to this. It says here, the revolutionary development of modern weapons within a world divided by serious ideological differences has produced a crisis in human history. In order to overcome the danger of nuclear war, and that's kind of a pretense in here, because this concerned nuclear weapons as well as small arms, now confronting mankind, the U.S. has introduced at the 16th General Assembly of the UN a program for general and complete disarmament in a peaceful world. So take note that the U.S. introduced this State Department 7277, as it became, this Freedom for More document. The U.S. introduced this back at the 16th General Assembly of the UN in the early 60s. So the U.S. brought this into being. It didn't adopt something from another country.
Right,
And so, and then it gets right to the point here. It says, this new program provides for the progressive reduction of the war-making capabilities of nations and the simultaneous strengthening of international institutions to settle disputes and maintain the peace. It sets forth a series of comprehensive measures which can and should be taken in order to bring about a world in which there will be freedom from war and security for all states. It is based on three principles deemed essential to the achievement of practical progress in the disarmament field. And the first one is, first, there must be immediate disarmament action. Now, I'll add a caveat that what I think happened, Ron, is they found out that to go from blueprint to reality to actually make this happen was far more snail-like, far more slow, far more difficult than they realized. So they've had to move the chess pieces around. They've had to put this thing on ice a little bit, but they had to wait for the right time. Of course, what is euphemistically called the deep state is a transgenerational thing. It transcends the normal life-death cycle. It has a life of its own. It's a part of the government that lives within what we deem the legitimate state. And it's that part that's run by the bankers. It's that part that's run by those who really run things. And so memories are very long. They don't just forget these things unless they're actually repealed. And even when you repeal them, sometimes they pop up again in another form. We've seen that. But it says here, a strenuous and uninterrupted effort must be made toward the goal of general and complete disarmament. At the same time, it is important that specific measures be put into effect as soon as possible. Well, once again, we found out it wasn't so easy to do it as soon as possible. The control organization, it goes on to say, must have the manpower, facilities, and effectiveness to assure that limitations or reductions take place as agreed. It must be able to certify that all states that retained forces and armaments do not exceed those permitted at any stage of the disarmament process. And so it goes on here, and what it basically goes on to say is that the police and security forces within each nation will have all the guns. It's very, more or less clearly stated. It's unambiguous that the people would generally not have any firearms. All firearms would be transferred to security forces at the national and regional level that are sufficient caliber for keeping the so-called peace. But then all larger forces of a military nature would mean that, and it says it here, there's a lot to read here, the disbanding of all national armed forces, get that, the disbanding of all national armed forces and the prohibition of their reestablishment in any form whatsoever other than those required to preserve internal order in the way I described, the regional and national forces getting all the guns, the people wouldn't have any, and for contributions to a United Nations peace force. Now, that's very Orwellian, a peace force.
Well, and you can see where this is going. It is what it really is a global centralization of all power, and so that it's run out of one place and one small group of people, and that the rest of the people are confined to do as they're told by the state, and it doesn't civil order, to maintain civil order, well, what if it's tyrannical? So to maintain tyranny, the state has all the small arms, and if a country finally has had enough of that stuff, if they got too big, then the UN, which has all the heavy armaments, steps in and takes care of business. This whole document is nothing but absolute tyranny right on its face. The people that wrote that document should have been arrested. The people that signed it should have been confined to prison. This stuff is serious business, and we don't hear people talking about how serious this stuff is.
And here comes the first set of ads, and they call people like us extremists. This is an extremist document. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And back to Stop the Presses, your host, Mark Anderson. Continuing my discussion with co-host and frequent co-host, that is frequent partner here on Stop the Presses, Ron Avery. And we're talking about, largely about, the upcoming State House Committee meeting in Texas this coming Wednesday, October 30th at 10 a.m. We'll give more details again before the show ends today. And this is another meeting that's coming up, ladies and gentlemen, right after the city of San Antonio had three meetings about mass shootings that were at least a little bit more balanced and objective. We, of course, covered that. Ron and I shed some light on that. We'll tell you how to watch live streams that were archived of those meetings that were held in San Antonio. We plan on doing the same thing this coming Wednesday to make sure there's live stream of the meeting. And that will be archived as much as soon as possible. We may use the state's own live stream because the state of Texas does film these things. But we're going to have our own presence there as best as we can. Of course, all best laid plans of mice and men. At least we're going to try and be there. But that's the plan anyway, is to be there to document this and to keep a very close eye on what the state is doing. Now that the city of San Antonio held its meetings, the state looks like it's taking a much more biased turn against the Second Amendment compared to the city. And Ron, what I'm thinking here is that if we're correct about these mass shootings being a way to create hysteria, the action is in the reaction toward enacting, after many years of this being, you know, put in second gear or put on the shelf, toward enacting this Freedom for More, this UN document, State Department document 7277. If we're correct about this, then I think it's safe to say that the disarmament people, the fanatics that are interested in that, disarmament terrorism, see Texas as a pivotal state. If they figure if they can win Texas, they can win anywhere.
Yes, I think that's true.
And it might explain why there's been a rather heavy amount of mass shootings here. You've had Santa Fe schools near Galveston. You've had Sutherland Springs Church. You've had Odessa, and you've had El Paso. A rather heavy presence of the mass shootings in one of the most heavily armed states in the Union. I'll just put that out there.
Obviously, I mean, it's a big state and there's lots of people, and if they could clamp down on the firearms here in Texas, they could do it anywhere. And I think that the disarmament terrorism is really we can't ignore the potential of the government being involved at some level, or in a very large level. And Sandy Hook seems to be a good example of that, where we actually have a FEMA document that says the FEMA. Trying to think of the exact phrasing they use for it. It's a FEMA mass casualty drill for Sandy Hook, scheduled on the 13th and 14th of December 2012, which is the event the Sandy Hook shooting supposedly happened on the 14th. So the FEMA drill started one day before that on the 13th, according to this document we have. And since Dr. Fetzer has been sued for libel for saying that three versions of a death certificate put out on the internet by Leonard Posner, because he didn't take those seriously. He should have. He should have thought that those were real and shouldn't have said they were fake. He should do the same thing with the FEMA document that was put out there, and it was known to come from the very to come from that crime scene. Is he supposed to look at the FEMA document with a lot less sincerity than he is with these three versions of a death certificate? So, if we're forced to look at these documents as real, then we have one from FEMA. Well, then how did this guy, Adam Lanza, how did he get into the school to shoot 26 people while they were conducting a FEMA exercise the very same day, which started the day before? You see, there's something very, very fishy about Sandy Hook, regardless of what this Posner does with this stupid death certificate. And where are the other 26 death certificates? Where is the information that proves, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Sandy Hook actually took place? There isn't any.
Now, that's interesting, especially when you consider that if he was concerned that those death certificates were being challenged, and he's claiming that those death certificates pertaining to his son were real, and that Fetzer was wrong to say that they were hoaxed, then you would think he would also, like you say, that Posner would also dispute the FEMA document, but he didn't. Very interesting. We have the ads, the inevitable ads. We'll catch more right at the bottom of the hour. Be right back.
They drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea, and YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
The depression still waxed strong as the powers of deflation reached out to confiscate homes, to capture farms, and to keep that ever-marching army of jobless upon our streets, wondering when God in his mercy would lift his hand. I dared you and challenged you to organize so that the people, if not the president, would drive the money changers from the temple, and you did it!
And that is the great Father Charles Coughlin. I'm just briefly interrupting here, your host Mark Anderson. As promised, I wanted to play you a little bit more of this. It'll come in just a second. This is one of his great speeches, an excerpt of it. Father Charles Coughlin, of course, was the great radio, priest from Royal Oak, Michigan, born in 1891 on this day. And no, let me get that right. No, he passed away. Excuse me. He passed away in 1979 on this day, October 25th. He was born October 27th, 1891. And he passed away. Wait a minute. Gosh, let me get this right. This is for the anniversary of his passing in 1979. Let's leave it at that. I need to double check his birth dates and death dates. Anyway, we'll continue now with this segment from the great radio priest, Father Charles Coughlin. It's about another 2 minutes and 10 seconds, and this is in his memory. Go right ahead.
They believe that the Federal Reserve Bank has the right to coin and regulate the value of money. They're not even Americans, these so-called Democrats and Republicans. You appreciate the fact, my dear friends, that among other things in the National Union for Social Justice, we are Christian insofar as we believe in Christ's principle of love your neighbor as yourself, and with that principle, I challenge every Jew in this nation to tell me that he does not believe in it. There is no need of communizing all the factories and the fields and the forests and the mines under a new kind of God made of flesh and blood and clay and hatred. When men become so prideful that they believe their destiny is to rewrite the eternal law of God, it's time for their fellow citizens to rise up in their wrath and through the agency of ballots and not bullets to relegate them to the pages of the past.
And I believe that's all of it, ladies and gentlemen. That is the late, great Father Charles Coughlin. And let's get the record straight. Today, October 25th, is the anniversary of his birthday in 1891. In 2 days, October 27th, will be the 40th year since his death, which was in 1979. He died at the age of 88. His parents were Thomas J. Coughlin and Amelia Mahoney, and he was buried at Holy Sepulcher Cemetery in Southfield, Michigan. I visited there 2 years ago. And he also had the newspaper Social Justice. And when was the last time you heard a priest sound like that? Or any man of the cloth, for that matter. Truly an amazing man. He still wears the sword of Damocles, the scarlet letter of anti-Semite. It's completely unfair. It's completely inaccurate. And I wrote an article, that's coming out in the Barnes Review very soon that calls for the clearing of the name of Father Charles Coughlin. The name of the article is literally Father Charles Coughlin, It's Time to Clear His Name. And I detail how he was not an anti-Semite, how he called on the Jews to find Christ and to find salvation through Christ. He was only critical of Jews involved in banking and in the Bolshevik Revolution because he was a defender of the faith, not because he hated Jews. And so I'm trying to set the record straight on this great priest, and that's my tribute for him today. Now, moving on back to my guest, Ron Avery, my co-host, really. Ron, I want to pick up where you left off. You threw me a little bit of a curve, but it's really important to talk about Leonard Posner, whose son Noah, we're told, was among the victims at Sandy Hook in December of 2012, and that he was incensed and filed suit that Jim Fetzer, the professor and author, challenged the authenticity of the death certificate of Noah Posner, but yet Leonard Posner, the father, was okay with a government document that showed that there was a drill that day, and there being a drill that day makes the entire story of Sandy Hook all the more questionable.
Well, we would be misleading the public to say that Posner had any thing to say at all about the FEMA document that was found there. The whole lawsuit only was limited to the legitimacy of the death certificate. And so I'm sure he made no comments, and I'm not even sure that Dr. Fetzer even brought up the FEMA document. He may have. I don't know. All these documents are really not available to us. I've asked for them to be made public and put online so we can read the entire case, what everybody filed, as it's a public record anyway. And but that's not been done so far. There are some documents out there, but not the whole thing. And So what I was just stating in general.
Yes, I understand.
For everyone, because what are we to learn from this lawsuit? Okay, what we're supposed to learn from this lawsuit is thou shalt not question documents floating around on the internet, even if they don't look the same. They're different versions of maybe the same document, but different versions. And some of them scratched out where others aren't, or scratched out in a different way. We're supposed to accept any version as authentic. And how dare we question such a thing as whether the death certificate is legitimate or not? Well, if that's the case, if that's what we're supposed to learn from this case, we should apply that to the FEMA document that we found that came from the Sandy Hook. I believe it was actually found in the home of Adam Lanza. It was left on a bed. And it was even shown in one of the photographs laying on a bed. And so we're supposed to just disregard that, apparently. And so why doesn't the government just tell us exactly what we're supposed to believe and shut up and just do that, believe that, and that's it? But no, if we have to discern all this stuff, now, I say if there's three funky-looking death certificates floating around, we have every right to question them and even believe that they're fake, and even to say that they're fake with our First Amendment. And the whole idea is, where does all, and they like to call all this stuff, that this is a conspiracy theories. Well, the way to stop all this conspiracy theory stuff is for the police to put out complete police reports, complete with pictures, not redacted, with people where they were murdered, where they were shot, what the scene looked like. And if there's any eyewitnesses, to have all this eyewitness testimony all brought down together and explained. What are these police reports supposed to do anyway? Why produce them if the public can't see them? We're just turning the country into a say-nothing, do-nothing, wait till the government tells you something, wait till the mass media cartel tells you what to believe, and shut up and don't question any of it. Well, I don't think I want to live in a country like that anymore.
Yeah, a country built on lies will soon fade away. There's no doubt about it. What you're outlining there, Ron, is the way that the First Amendment is getting caught up in the assault against the Second Amendment. They're trying to take both of them out. And
absolutely.
So those at the Gun Owners of America, those with the National Association for Gun Rights, and all the other organizations that are every bit as legitimate, if not more so, than the NRA. The NRA is not the only game in town, like the mass media cartel tries to imply. All these organizations need to realize, if they haven't already, and many of them I'm sure have, that the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, and really unlawful search and seizure, a lot of things are under attack. They're trying to really target all that, with the Second Amendment being the bullseye and the others going along for the ride. And so, yeah, Sandy Hook being more or less the modern-day bellwether template issue. In other words, of all the mass shootings, they're trying to use Sandy Hook, whatever the veracity might be of the official story, they're trying to use Sandy Hook as the bellwether, the primer, the fundamental cornerstone of their mass shooting, disarmament, terrorism power play that we evidently are seeing. And that's why we bring up Sandy Hook, ladies and gentlemen. We're not, for those that might be listening live around the archive that might not like what we're saying, none of this, whether we question Sandy Hook or any of the other mass shootings, none of it could or should ever be construed as insensitivity toward those who may have died. In no way is it intended that way. In no way has it ever been intended that way, nor will it ever be intended that way. You have to understand that if we live on a bed of lies, we as a nation will perish. And that is the bottom line.
Yes, I'd like to add something else too to this, because I'm very frustrated with the way the government is and the police forces are doing their job. If if these crimes are going to be used as leverage to commit another crime, namely the disarmament of the American people, I demand that absolute strict proof of these crimes be made, and that these that crime scene photos and their full gore be put online for inspection of the people. And to say that now I'm sure that, that's harsh for people that have lost somebody to say that kind of thing, but what would happen if we found out that ultimately 25, 30 years from now, our children find out that thing never happened at all, and they've taken disarmed the American people based on fictitious acts? And what's the whole idea behind not putting this information out anyway? Is it a setup where they really do have an incident, but they don't report it well, so they get people questioning it, and then they take them out later? I mean, is it a sting? The idea is this, to sting people that question things? I'm sick of this whole approach, and there's something shady going on behind it, or this approach wouldn't be this obvious. It is obvious that our government is way off track. And it isn't stated motivations of disarmament of the American people, which is against the law of the land. Our government is against the law of the land. Now, that should cause everyone absolute concern. And they certainly should not be contemplating disarming themselves when our own government is against the law.
Yeah, acting contrary to the very fundamental charter of the country, not just against statutory law, but against the actual charter of the nation, the fundamental building blocks of the country. You know, it's really undeniable that there's a pattern in the mass shootings, whatever the veracity might be of the official stories. Again, as you say, Ron, in the absence of detailed, accurate, honorable police reports, it creates a vacuum in which speculation and so-called conspiracy theories, in which those things pour in which those things are incited to happen. And that seems, as you're saying, Ron, that seems to be almost a motivation here. Create a vacuum, wait for the inevitable speculation, and then carry out stings against those that raise questions. And part of that sting is to raise the idea that you shouldn't even ask questions, that you shouldn't even question the veracity of a document, that you shouldn't even ask questions when something just doesn't make sense at all. It could be something as simple as they say a person that did a mass shooting drove X number of miles in X number of hours, and you look on a map and maybe you've driven that route yourself, and you say to yourself, there's no way that counting, stopping for gasoline and maybe food, and you're lugging a bunch of heavy guns around, as we're told, there's no way that so-and-so suspect could have driven X amount of miles in X amount of time, because it's physically impossible. And if you did, you'd have to run red lights and then speed down the highway way past the speed limits, and we're supposed to believe that no police officer pulled them over, and that they just waltzed in and pulled off their shooting. It can be something as simple as that, and yet they say, thou shalt not question that.
That's right. I think that's really where they want the American public, is to accept everything, no matter how illogical or ridiculous it is. That way they can do any kind of crime. The government anarchist or tyrannist or whatever can do anything they want to and get away with it.
Yeah, and it's clear that Mr. Posner, wittingly or not, would appear to be a part of this. I'm not saying he's doing it knowingly. Maybe he's being exploited or used. Maybe they're using his emotions on this. Whatever the case, he is basically laying the groundwork through the lawsuit against Professor Fetzer and a co-author, a partner of Fetzer's. He's laying the groundwork for saying that if you raise a legitimate issue or what appears to be a legitimate discrepancy, it doesn't matter, because through this lawsuit, they're trying to establish a precedent that questioning things will not be tolerated, that those who do the questioning will be massively sued. And they're trying to sell this narrative that if you're the survivor of a victim, that you're supposed to be, your emotions are supposed to be so sacrosanct that anyone who's trying to get to the truth of things is seen as an offender of that victim, when in fact, those trying to get to the truth of things should be seen as an ally of victims or those that survive the victims.
That's an excellent point, Mark. They're using a private individual and giving him superior power to determine all truth related to Sandy Hook. First of all, if I would have been a judge, I wouldn't have allowed this case of such public importance to be limited to the death certificate alone. I would have permitted all kinds of evidence about, for instance, the FEMA document and many other things that it, about Sandy Hook. To suggest that one guy can come up and because they had claimed to have a loss there, determine that Sandy Hook happened and that all the other facts are irrelevant is just beyond me. I think this case is one of the largest travesties in the country ever, historically.
Yeah, and it's clear what the motivation may be. Again, whether Posner is a part of it or not is another open question that I don't have the answer to. But the outcome, the reaction here, the precedent, the cornerstone they're trying to lay down is that one need only be the survivor of a victim. One need only say that they're upset. One need only say that these truth seekers are bringing calumny upon me. Whether that's true or not doesn't even matter. And therefore, it libels truth seekers by association, by implication. And so this is another piece of proof in my mind, Ron, that there's a lot of long-range planning in these mass shootings that they're trying to portray as unconnected. But you could, if you look closely, you see the parallels, you see the apparent interconnectedness. And so this would seem to be something besides the enactment of the Freedom from War General Disarmament Plan, the UN plan we've talked about, State Department 7277 document. The other motivation besides enacting Freedom from War would be this legal battering ram we're talking about here.
Yes, I agree. I just I think if these things would have been reported properly, if this would have been covered properly,
sure,
the Sandy Hook event, there wouldn't even been a lawsuit. And you've got to question all this when we already know there's a stated agenda to disarm the American people. It's been stated by the government.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it that what they're doing through the Posner suit is to the First Amendment what Freedom from War is to the Second Amendment. They're trying to take out both amendments because they figure freedom of speech supports the freedom to bear arms, and the freedom to bear arms helps protect freedom of speech, the ultimate protection. They see those first two amendments as going hand in hand, and they're trying to take both of them out.
Sure.
And again, we can't discern, ladies and gentlemen listening live and on the archive, we can't discern every little nook and cranny. We can't discern every little motivation. But we do, through the fog and through the mist, we do see the footprints and where this is heading, where the breadcrumb trail leads. And so that's why we're getting this out there. We got about 5-6 minutes left in today's show at the most. And in a moment, we'll announce, again, the October 30th, 10 a.m. State House of Representatives committee meeting in Texas, in Austin, at the state capitol. That's 10 a.m. this coming October 30th. That's this coming Wednesday. Ron and I do plan to be there. We're going to do our best to cover this and discern exactly what it's about, even though we have an idea from their long announcement that Ron read early in the show. But with a couple minutes that we have left, we have Lark in Texas, a caller. Lark, we do got to keep it brief. Go right ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a little bit of ammunition. Number one, it was Yevgeny Primakov and Marcus Wolf who were hired as consultants with the creation of Department of Homeland Security. And what they're trying to implement is this thing called R2P, which is responsibility to protect. It's a bedrock of communitarian law, which is the same law of the European Union. And it's clear to me that Samantha Power, who was then Obama's ambassador to the United Nations, who advanced this, and it was accepted and signed on to, along with her husband, Cass Sunstein, when he was in the Obama administration, are the ones that advanced this whole idea of basically turning America into a Stasi type of a surveillance state. And so this can't go unchallenged. I mean, the people that are at that meeting, they need to be apprised of these things. Whether someone passes out leaflets or whatever, I'm happy to help. I'm easy to get a hold of. But you could put down like 5 bullet points, because you have to have a big picture. And the big picture is, like I've said, it's called learned helplessness. That was also Martin Seligman, part of the creation of the Department of Homeland Security. And it was this idea of R2P, responsibility to protect, which is international law, which is being superimposed over and upon American law. And again, I leave you with these things, because unless somebody points out the big picture of what these people are trying to hammer home and impose upon us, they're not going to see it.
You're right. You're absolutely right, and I intend to do that. And I intend to make them aware of the document we were talking about, too, Freedom from War, and that's our own program. That's been here a long time, since about 1961. And I intend to hand out some material there and show them the big picture and show them that talking about gun control is talking about crime, doing a crime.
I really know you got to go, but if you need my help, I'm easy to get a hold of through Mark or RBN. I'll be happy to help you. Take 5 minutes.
Great, Lark. Also, Lark, if you could possibly be in Austin on the 30th, it'd be great to meet you, and it'd be great to have your assistance and your input. I don't know where you live exactly, but if you could be there, consider it. So there you go.
All right. Well, thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Hope to see you there. Ron, one more time on the exact location at the State House, the room number this coming Wednesday, October 30th, for that State House committee meeting.
Yeah, that's E1.036, the finance room.
Okay, Ron and I do intend to be there, ladies and gentlemen, to document it and to get information disseminated. Thanks for listening today. This coming Monday, I'll have Pastor Jason Mangum on the show. We're going to talk about our news enterprise called World Impact News. We're going on lots of podcasts and many, many social media outlets. We're going to talk about that and some Trump issues and some other matters. Thanks, Ron, and we'll see everybody next time here on Stop the Presses.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.